Welcome, everyone. This is the Board of Adjustment meeting for November the 12th, 2015. Could I have a roll call, please?
Falk?
Here.
Gallagher?
Here.
Johnson?
Here.
Spranger?
Here.
Moniker?
Here. The Board of Adjustment is a five-member board appointed by the mayor. It is the responsibility of the board to discuss special uses and variances as they apply to the city ordinances. Special hearings are meetings are held monthly, and each member has had an opportunity to go out and view the site in question. Could I have a vote on the minutes of the previous meeting for September 10th?
I move we approve the meeting minutes.
Is there a second?
Second.
And a roll call, Lisa?
Falk?
Yes.
Gallagher?
Yes.
Johnson?
Yes.
Spranger?
Yes.
Moniker?
Yes. The following items appear. Case number A is case 15-073 at 2736 Eagle Heights Court, an R1 district. Appeal of a building inspector and zoning admission administrator's interpretation of enforcement of a rear yard setback requirement set forth in sections 14.17 parentheses and 5 of the zoning ordinance, now found in section 11-6A-7 in parentheses E, submitted by James D. Brune and John M. Hoffman and Kimberly D. Hoffman. Is there an affidavit of publication?
Yes, there is, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. You've received the staff report regarding this issue last week. You also were emailed a response from the applicant's attorneys, and if you did not receive that, I also placed hard copies of that response at each of your places here. The applicant is represented by Mr. James Brune, who's present. The city's represented by City Attorney Christine Stone. I believe they're both prepared for presentation and questions regarding this issue.
Thank you, John. My partner to the right, Dave, will not be abstaining from this vote. And the only thing we're here to discuss tonight is the timing of this item. Is there anyone here wishing to speak in favor of this request? State your name and address, please, and go to the podium.
In the back, Jim.
My name is James Brune. I'm an attorney on behalf of John and Kimberly Hoffman. My office professional address is 343 Fifth Avenue South, Clinton, Iowa. I'm with the law firm of Farwell and Brune. Mm-hmm. This, as I understand it, we're going to address the issue of whether there should be a formal hearing granted or whether it should be denied on the basis of a timely filing. And by way of background, Mr. and Mrs. Hoffman are joining property owners to the property in question, and they assert that the residence owned by Rodney Blackwell and Jody Blackwell, as constructed, is in violation of the Bettendorf City Zoning Rear Yard Setback Zoning Ordinance, and procedural history in arguments in support of a formal hearing that I submitted today and kind of covers some ancillary litigation that's been pending since October of 2012. Initially, Mr. and Mrs. Hoffman filed a petition in the Scott County District Court in October of 2012 against Mr. and Mrs. Blackwell and the developers of the subdivision, alleging that the construction of the home was in violation of both subdivision covenants and in violation of the Bettendorf City Zoning Setback Ordinance. Subsequent to the filing of the petition, the City of Bettendorf was joined as a defendant in that lawsuit on May 20th of 2015, and a motion for summary judgment was filed by the city claiming that this issue had not been raised with the city and brought through the administrative appeal process, and therefore was not ripe for litigation, and that summary judgment was granted in favor of the city of Bettendorf. So as a result of the court dismissing the claims alleging the zoning violation, we obtained a continuance of the trial date, which was scheduled to start in December, on the remaining issues of the subdivision violations, to be given the opportunity to file an appeal to the city. In conjunction with the city's motion for summary judgment, an affidavit of Mr. Connor, Bill Connor, was submitted, which in essence stated that in his opinion there was no violation of the setback and that the construction in question was not a structure under the ordinance. And the issue raised by this appeal is whether there's an ongoing violation of the zoning ordinance by virtue of the construction of what we contend is a structure and not merely a backyard fence or retaining wall. If we had a formal hearing, the evidence would establish that this backyard structure is a very, very large structure. The dimensions are outlined in my appeal statement. It has footings into the ground. There was a lot of elevation and fill brought in, and the survey of the structure clearly shows that it exceeds the 40-foot setback by approximately 35 feet. It runs almost to the rear property line of the lot. And as far as the timeliness, first of all, it's my understanding from speaking with Mr. Sankson, this board adopted a rule this June that applies in most situations, that if there's a decision made on a variance or an application of some sort or a permit, then any appeals is supposed to be made by board rule within 30 days. Under the facts and circumstances of our appeal, we're not appealing a variance. We're not appealing the issuance of a permit issued to Mr. and Mrs. Hoffman. They're appealing a construction which they believe violates the ordinance. And under Section 25 of the zoning ordinance, it states any constructions or structures built in violation of the ordinance constitute a nuisance subject to abatement. And we believe we're dealing with an ongoing violation of the ordinance, and therefore bringing our appeal before this board is timely because it's of an ongoing nature. It's also ripe because we know the position already taken by Mr. Connors that the structure as constructed does not violate the ordinance, and we think that's the central issue which needs to be addressed. There was no variance application made by the Blackwells in conjunction with their building permits to construct put up a structure that would violate the setback requirements. So there was no decision at a specific point in time to appeal in that regard. This has been an ongoing issue since completion of the building. We still have the litigation with the Blackwells and developers pending in court, and these two separate issues, the violation of the city ordinance versus violation of the zoning restrictions, go hand in hand, arise out of the same set of facts and circumstances, same witnesses, and we believe that we have a timely filed an appeal of this nature. We've never been before this board before on the issue. There's never been any formal appeal of whether the structure as constructed constitutes an ongoing violation of the ordinance. So for those reasons, we're requesting that that the board allow us a formal hearing and to submit in more detail our evidence, make a ruling on that, and we would like to see this matter set for the for the January hearing date and sufficient time allowed to present our evidence and perhaps some testimony.
Thank you, sir. Is there anyone here wishing to speak in addition to in favor of this request? Is there anyone here wishing to speak in opposition to this request? Would you, Nate, state your name and address, please?
Good evening. My name is Michael A. Corey with the law firm of Bush, Motto, Crean, Corey & Halligan, 5505 Victoria Avenue, Suite 100, Davenport, Iowa, 52807. I am the attorney for Rodney and Jody Blackwell. As to the merits of the issue, I'll defer to Mr. Connors. I think we agree with Mr. Connors that there is no zoning violation, but I think the main issue here tonight is whether there should even be a hearing on the merits. According to your rules, as my understanding, adopted from the staff report on June 11, 2015, you get 30 days prior after either notice or a decision to file a timely appeal. Even if you say that the rules passed on June 11, 2015, the law says all citizens should know about and have constructive knowledge of laws. And so even if you start at June 11, 2015, at 30 days of that, the appeal is still untimely. This law was completed in 2012. The Hoffmans basically sat there and watched it be built right next door and did nothing, did not come to this board. Understand that the summary judgment motion that Mr. Bruner is referring to, that wasn't decided on the merits either. That the court said that the Hoffmans failed to exercise their administrative remedies and didn't come to your board first, and that's why the summary judgment was denied. If the Hoffmans had an issue, they're supposed to come to this board in a timely manner. They failed to do so, and there shouldn't even be a hearing. And I do concur with Ms. Stone's case law here and disagree with Mr. Bruin when he says there has to be a decision to trigger this 30-day, a decision of a board to trigger this 30 days. That is not true. The Shores case is right on point. Ms. Stone, I also cite, I believe, an unpublished opinion, 2001 Westlaw 1502700. I think it's BUNSE versus Smelling, which is somewhat of a similar case, where it talks about knowledge is when certain statute of limitations begin. It had to do with a different city that I think had a 10-day type statute. So the 30 days does not begin when there's a decision by this board or there's an actual decision. The 30 days begins when they have constructive knowledge of there being a zoning ordinance violation. They're next door. I mean, they're sitting right next door. They had constructive knowledge the entire time. The wall took a year to build, and they sat there and watched it. I mean, you can't have any more constructive knowledge than that. So in summary, I do agree with the staff report that the appeal is untimely filed and should be denied for that reason.
Thank you, sir. Is there anyone else wishing to speak to this question? Christine, did you have anything to say, please?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Both individuals are correct, and the issue before the board tonight is pretty narrow. This is pretty unique from what I understand. I don't know that this has come before the board previously. So the question that the board has to decide this evening is, was this appeal filed within the board's timeline as established by your rules? The city code does give the board the authority to adopt its own rules of procedure as long as they're not inconsistent with city or state code. And that is exactly what happened in June when the board adopted the 30-day appeal timeline. Mr. Corey is correct in stating that under Iowa law, an appeal deadline for the Board of Adjustment begins either when an administrative decision is made or when an applicant should have had knowledge of that decision. And I think in this case, the confusing part is it's not so much as a formal decision that was made, but the way that staff interprets these types of, whether you want to call it an elevated yard or a retaining wall. So in my understanding, that is the issue, is staff's interpretation of those types of things and whether or not they fall within the setback. In Mr. Bruhn's response today, he did indicate that litigation in this case began back in 2012, so clearly the applicants had knowledge of this situation as far back as that, if not before. And considering the board's 30-day timeline, staff is recommending that the appeal be denied as untimely.
Thank you. I've been here 8 years, and over the 8 years, we have never heard this case before. And the reason we went to the 30-day rule, because other departments in the city, plan and zone, and others have 30-day rules as far as appeals are concerned. Is there anyone else want to speak to this? The board have any questions?
It's my understanding that that there's never been a formal ruling as far as the city is concerned on this particular issue.
That is correct.
It seems to me that I don't know how these things get to us unless they're an appeal of an administrative decision or unless they're a variance. And this doesn't really relate to either one. There seems to have been ample time to raise the issue. The issue hasn't been raised, so I guess, fortunately, I think that the 30 days should apply, and they can continue to litigate this. There's other remedies besides this particular remedy. So.
On May 20th of this year, this litigation has been going on for quite some time. I had no knowledge of it. I've never seen anything about this come up. So on May 20th, they are informed that they need to come back to the city and exhaust all of the procedures, whatever, in the city. In June, I remember we discussed going to the 30 days. It all seemed very reasonable to me. I fear that I feel a little bit uncomfortable that suddenly when people know that this litigation is going on and I don't, and then there's a rule that comes in front of us and it makes sense with the information that's presented, that now we're going to have a 30-day rule. Seems reasonable, but now this is coming in front of us right after that. The timing of it all seems a little bit interesting to me. Could you address that?
Certainly, and that was discussed when the rule came before you. It actually was a recommendation of our outside attorney who was involved in this case, and we were very forthcoming in that when we brought the recommendation forward. And so I don't want anyone to think that it was some sneaky maneuver on our part. That was, I think if you go back to the minutes, that should be addressed.
Perhaps, and perhaps so. I mean, litigation, some sort of litigation may, and I can't remember, that something may have come up and that might have been the impetus for this type of decision. It's just the timing seems a little uncomfortable considering this is now coming before us. When they were told to come back through the city on May 20th, did they come back through to the city at that point in time, or what? When they were told to come back through to the city on May 20th, we had not yet passed that rule on June 11th for the 30 days. So they effectively, when they were told to come back to us, if we were to look at it being applying to the rules that were in place at the time, they would have a reasonable amount of time to come back and address this with us. And I don't know what the wording is right now. I can get my book out, but it was something to the effect of a reasonable and proper time frame or something, some such thing. That was from May, June, July, August, September, October. You know, there might be some gray area as to what might be reasonable and proper if we were to apply those rules to them at that point in time.
And I would agree, had we had an appeal pending prior to the adoption of the 30-day rule, I would say it would be appropriate for the board not to consider the 30-day hard and fast timeline. But that's not the case. The appeal was filed after the rule was adopted.
So, Mr. Bruin, would you like to say something else, sir?
Yes.
Just two quick points in reply, and Mr. Gallagher touched upon the issue. This is a different sort of appeal, and if we, there was not a formal request for a legal opinion from Mr. Connors, okay? And if that is, so we don't have a decision in a particular point in time to appeal from, and if that's necessary, I would ask for leave right now to make a formal request from Mr. Connors to evaluate it, give a decision, and then we'll appeal that decision within 30 days. It was noted by the city attorney that apparently after our motion hearing in this litigation, they recommended that you adopt some sort of appeal time frame, but nobody gave us notice of that. I mean, we were in court in May with the outside legal counsel, and then in June they're adopting a 30-day, and if we knew that there was a rule being adopted for 30 days, they were going to try to apply retrospectively to our pending case, which was ongoing, we certainly would have got something on file within that 30 days. We were unaware of the rule until it was brought up in the reply. I know ignorance in many cases isn't an excuse, but under the scenario of this case, in fairness to all concerned, if we want a formal decision to appeal from, I'm asking this board to enter an order granting us leave to make a formal decision or to make a formal application for a decision from Mr. Connors to interpret whether there's a construction in violation of the statute, and when he hands that decision down, we'll appeal it. Now, I think that's a little bit of really form over substance, but we can get there, and we'll operate under the new rule. But we really weren't put on notice when they knew we were just in court a month before, and there was a rule being adopted. I don't know why somebody wouldn't have said, hey, we're adopting a rule, here it is now. And the court's ruling didn't say you have to go back to the city of Bettendorf. It said we can't hear your complaint that the ordinance is being violated because you didn't go to the city of Bettendorf. And so that's when we needed some time to regroup, strategize, and we made the decision, okay, let's go to the city of Bettendorf before we wrap up this lawsuit. So I think that's an accurate characterization of the history, to get a decision to appeal, I guess we could go back and say, give us one, because we've never had we've never had a formal decision handed down to Mr. and Mrs. Hoffman on whether this construction violates the ordinance.
Thank you, sir. Is there anyone else here wishing to speak?
Go ahead, Bill.
Chairman.
Yeah, please, Bill.
When somebody comes in and gives us an application for a permit, we do a zoning ordinance review. We do a review of their plans. At that time, that's, in my opinion, when my formal decision is made as to whether it meets the zoning ordinance or not.
So it's, in your opinion, basically, that was this, a decision was made at that point in time that this didn't violate the ordinance?
At the time that the permit was issued to move ahead with the improvement.
When that was 2011?
That's correct.
So it's been 4 years since that point in time. So
no,
even
that was to Mr. Blackwell, not to the Hoffmans. They wouldn't be a party to that.
No, you would.
That wasn't a decision.
That's true.
We're not appealing the permit. Can I rebut?
Go ahead, sir.
I think we're confusing here. There doesn't need to be a formal decision made in front of your board for this 30 days to begin, and that's the case I cited. The Hoffmans had a constructive knowledge of the wall. The permit is on file with the city. The constructive knowledge plus the permit, and then after the rule was even again on June 11th, the law charges the Hoffmans of knowing about this rule. Just because the board doesn't need to send notice to Mr. Bruin like he would have liked, saying that this rule is in effect. I'm sure you publish notice like you do every other hearing, and it was, and there was a public hearing on the rule, and you adopted the rule. That's all you're required to do. Now, if he wants to make the argument that the 30 days started on June 11th because it's a new rule, that's great. But then he gets till July 11th to file his appeal. He still didn't do that. So whatever way you want to slice this, it's untimely. I mean, your rules are clear. So, I urge you to listen to your city attorney because she is interpreting this correctly.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
I have one question. Is Mr. Corey correct? Is that how when we adopted that rule, does it go out as a public notice? Is there a?
It was on the agenda. It was. Published the same way all of our agendas are published, so that it was in the packet that gets posted every Friday ahead of board meetings. Yes, it was.
Okay.
So if they had awareness, when are we going to say something, when it was under construction and they were looking into it, the Hoffmans in 2012, then the rules that were in place at that particular time, why should they not apply? Why should we be retroactively applying 30 days to a 2012 date? Could maybe I get some input on that?
The appeal was filed after the rule was adopted, so you really need to look at the date that the appeal is being filed as it relates to the alleged violation or interpretation. So because the appeal was filed subsequent to the board's adoption of its rule, the rule applies to that appeal.
Anyone else?
Anything else?
Is there a motion from the board?
What are the board's options for tabling and coming back since this rule, the time period has already expired, tabling this and to be able to research the code a little bit more?
It, just like every other meeting, if you want to table an item, you certainly can.
But we do have that option.
Yes. You're speaking rather narrow focused right now as to the timely filing. Is that what you're talking about? That's what
right.
You want to table?
My understanding is that's what's in front of us right now. We're not even looking at any of the other information technically. We're just looking at the timing issue.
And if I'm summarizing what everybody has said here, that's what everybody is focusing on here this evening. So the chairman has asked for a motion. If that's what a motion is going to be, it'll be entertained.
I'll get it on the floor. I'll make a motion that we deny the application as being untimely filed.
I'll second it. Would you call a roll call, Lisa?
To verify, you are denying the application. Could you restate that, your motion?
I think I move that we deny it as being untimely filed.
Okay.
Irrespective of the 30 days.
Other issues.
Somebody second?
Yeah.
I did. Would you call the roll, Lisa?
Oak?
Present.
Gallagher?
Yes.
Johnson?
No.
Spranger?
Yes.
Gallagher?
Yes. Case number 15-073 at 2736 Eagle Heights Court, R1 District, has been denied. Item B is case 15-078 at 3486 Spencer Drive in A2 District. It's a request for a variance to increase the allowable area of a garage from 773 square feet to 1,234 square feet to allow construction of a 26 by 28 foot garage submitted by Scott Fitzenmeyer. Is there an affidavit of publication?
Yes, there is.
Thank you, John.
Mr. Chairman, board members, the site is over in the area of Tanglewood Pavilion. It's accessed from Middle Road going on to Norwood Drive and then turning on to Spencer Drive. It involves the lot that's highlighted in yellow. The applicant would like to add a 26 by 28 foot detached garage to the area approximately as it's being displayed before you right now. That may not be the exact location, but it's a fair representation where the detached garage would like to go. If allowed, I'm sorry, they are allowed up to 773 square feet of garage space at this time using the code ratio. They would like, if this is allowed, it would increase the total from the attached structure and the detached structure up to 1,234 square feet. This lot is an A2 district. It's rural residential. Rural residential districts are characterized by much larger lots, more rural type settings, not typical of most of your urban type lots in the other R districts within the city. This particular lot is 103 feet by 303 feet, contains almost four times the square footage of an R1 lot requirement and five times the square footage of an R2 lot requirement. Yet the same garage standards apply to this lot as it does to any of the other lots within the city. The board has made distinctions about the appropriateness of these types of requests in agricultural A1 and A2 districts as opposed to the R districts. And based on those previous approvals and the analysis I just gave, I believe this request is consistent with some of the past approvals that have been granted by the board. I believe that summarizes the request, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, John. Is anyone here wishing to speak in favor of this request? Scott, would you like to speak to this request at all?
Do I need to speak?
No.
No, I'm just asking that.
Okay. Is there discussion among the board?
I just have a quick question. Would the result be the same if this was an ancillary building as opposed to a garage?
Meaning?
If it was a workshop without a garage door in it, yep. It wouldn't be before you.
Okay. My question is, I don't mean this, it's not really a garage because there's no driveway, no access. Yeah. If that's permittable, I don't have no problem with that.
He's not quite decided where it exactly
is. Have you finalized that yet?
Well, we're very close. We would.
Could you go to the microphone? Otherwise, we won't get it as.
That's okay. I don't mean to prolong anything, but I'm just asking, what's the setback required side yard?
He will meet all setback requirements. Okay.
And that's all I wanted to get on record.
And separation requirements.
Okay.
We were out on site at length and discussed all those issues.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Is there a motion from the board?
I'll move we approve case number 15078 to increase the allowable area of the garage to 1,234 square feet.
Is there a second?
I'll second.
And moved and seconded. Would you call the roll, Lisa?
Falk?
Yes.
Gallagher?
Yes.
Johnson?
Yes.
Spranger?
Yes.
Yes. Case number 15-078 at 3486 Spencer Drive in A2 District has been approved. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Pardon, sir?
Do we have any other business?
No, no other business. We're adjourned.